This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Hold the Puck!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast, which means it's a podcast about your 2018 Stanley Cup champions. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, and Google Play Music. Well, I mean, we could start the show like we always do, talking about the games that we've already seen, talking about who's going to do better, who's been in the penalty box, who's playing well on the ice, but instead, I'm going to welcome in Coach Dan.
Lots of guys in the second period.
That's true. I'm going to welcome in Coach Dan for this one because we are going to start the show with that big news. It actually broke before we recorded. This never happens.
Yeah!
Nick Backstrom signs a brand new contract. He's staying in D.C. for 5 years. Coach Dan, what's going on, man? How do you feel about this contract? Give us all the deets on the on this contract.
Well, can we talk about, first of all, we'll go over the details in a second. Can we talk about how I was at work this morning at like 8:05 and I get a notification on my phone that the Caps have signed Backstrom to a new 5 year, starts after this season, 5 year, $46 million deal, comes out to an average annual value of $9.2 million. That's going to be his cap hit. It's something like $6 million signing bonus and $6 million is a salary, then five, then it drops to three, then goes back up to five, and then drops to two. Now, why they don't just spread it out to an even number, I don't know. But actually, maybe it has to do if they like move him on towards the end of his deal or he retires or whatever the case may be. But it was weird timing to announce it. Like, I wonder if maybe they were trying to, can you do that thing where like you set a post to go out on like Twitter or something? But like maybe they hit the wrong time and like they meant to do 12, but by accident did like eight and it went out and they're like, it's already out there. Might as well leave it. Like, that's the only thing I can think of in terms of how it ended up this way.
You have news like that, you're so excited. You just want to get that out there because you're flaunting it at this point. I mean, if you've been paying attention to the social media for the Capitals at all today, they've been putting out some of the craziest videos and stuff they hope goes viral about this signing. They are ecstatic to have Backstrom back for five more years.
They don't even need to do that, though. Like, it's Backstrom. It's not like they're like, we re-signed Nick Dowd. No offense, Nick Dowd. You're a very nice player to have, but it doesn't have quite the same impact that re-signing Backstrom does. So, plus, I'm pretty sure Dowd's got a few years left on his deal. Yes, he does. He's got two after the season. Anyways, so, yeah, it's a pretty big deal. It's made things interesting. They will have – we don't know what the cap ceiling is going to be next season, but they already are going to have $52 million locked up in forwards. You'll have Ovechkin, then Backstrom in terms of – this is in terms of their average annual value or cap hit. Ovechkin, Backstrom, Kuznetsov, Oshie, and Wilson all over $5 million. Then Eller, Vrana over $3 million, and then Hagelin and Ponick, Hathaway, Dowd. So they've got – I have to imagine, barring anything crazy, a lot of their forwards are likely on this team next season. Because they all have deals. The only guy that needs a new deal after next season. Oh, there's two guys actually need a deal after next season. Jacob Vrana, who's going to be expensive.
Yes, he is.
And this other guy named Alex Ovechkin.
Who?
So, he's an up and coming guy. He plays with the Bears right now.
Cool.
But I think he's going to be pretty good with them.
I've heard he's really good in the KHL. I mean, I heard he's really popular over there.
He's been okay.
Okay.
So they need to sign him to a new deal after next season, but we'll get to, you know, that later. What if they sign him to a new deal this season? That probably won't happen.
No.
Anyways, so the Backstrom thing, it's great. The fact that at the end of his deal, he's going to be 37. Actually, does this thing show him his birthday is? So he'll turn 33 next November. So he'll be 37 at the end of his next contract. Wow. No, 38, right?
Yeah, he's only 33. I did not realize he was that young.
No, he'll be – how old he be? Anyways, so he'll be 37, 38, something like that. It's a big cap hit for a guy at that age. He does have a bit of a history of injuries. some of them being the migraines that he gets, some of them being actual injuries. But when he's a guy like this and what he means to your franchise, you definitely want to keep him around. We'll see if we're saying that same thing in a few years' time if his play drops off. It's nice to have a guy like Kuznetsov who likely would then step into that first line slot, but that's a lot of money salary cap wise that you're going to have wrapped up in a guy getting into his late 30s. And good God, what is Ovechkin's next contract going to be?
I mean, for me, I kind of feel as if Backstrom, Ovechkin are a package deal. I feel like if one signs, the other one's going to do it. So this might actually be this might help out the Capitals a little bit more. These guys are best buds, apparently.
Ovechkin's not going anywhere. It's not like he was going to go sign with Montreal or something. I just wonder if Ovechkin now signs a four-year deal so that he and Backstrom retire at the same time.
Maybe I'm kind of wondering if Backstrom, because of the way Backstrom did his contract without an agent and banking all that money, if Ovi's going to do the same thing. It kind of feels like he would kind of follow that lead with Backstrom. And I don't know, we might see more players in the league do that if they have a strong connection with the front office of their team. Because, I mean, how much money did Backstrom just save? Just think of that in dollars and cents. I mean, yes, it's great if you trust the company you're working for and you think you can work at a deal without an agent. That dude, I mean, he just saved, you know, some college tuition right there.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to have to worry about that.
No, I think he'll be absolutely fine, but it might be kind of...
I'll bet within like a week he's already paid for his kids' college tuition for... good.
Well, if he's got more kids coming, who knows? You know, he might.
I mean, he's only making $6.7 million this season.
Jeez.
He might. I mean, that new deal is really going to help him out. That extra, what, $2.5 million?
I mean, it's definitely going to help him out. I'd be happy with that.
I take the difference. Just take the 2.5. I don't need the 6.7 or 9.2. I'll take the 2.5.
All right. So the next big contract coming up is going to be Braden Holtby. And it was announced, I think, what was it, around Thanksgiving or Christmas, that Holtby said he's not going to negotiate a new contract until after this season is over. Does this contract with Backstrom affect Holtby and the money he's going to get at all if he stays?
I think to an extent, just in terms of the cap space. Right now they've got – where is it? They've got an estimated expenses of $66 million and change. Not a lot of change, mind you. So depending on where the cap ceiling ends up next year, right now it's at 81.5. They have I'm confused. Why does that one say 66 and the other one say, oh no, maybe it's a projected cap hit of 71 million. So they've got about 10 million in change in cap space. So if you're going to re-sign back Holtby, who likely might ask for that same amount of money that Backstrom is getting, that would then leave you with $800,000 to re-sign Travis Boyd, who you probably aren't, Brendan Leipsic, Radko Gudas, who you might not be, although they seem to like him, and I wouldn't be surprised if they signed him to a new deal.
Well,
and Jonas Siegenthaler.
Yeah, I mean.
Oh, by the way, when you need to re-sign Ovechkin and Vrana, if he's still on the team, and I'm assuming he's going to be, you also need to re-sign Ilya Samsonov.
Yeah. I mean, I think they really like Radko Gudas, though, right now, because when you have a guy like Nick Jensen kind of taking up all the headlines of being a very poorly performing.
He's struggling
defenseman
right now.
Yeah.
Jensen is really struggling. I think if things continue the way they are and Jensen continues to kind of have his off nights and struggles, I wouldn't be surprised. I don't think he goes at the deadline unless they can bring someone else in. Well, but I think he could be gone in the offseason in just a way to free up some cap space. And then let's not forget, after next season, they're also going to lose someone else for the to Seattle. So that's potentially likely someone that also comes with a decent cap hit. Honestly, I don't know if we don't talk about this tonight, but I think, I mean, they're going to go with the, what is it? 7 forwards, 3 defensemen and 1 goaltender, right? So I think forwards, whatever, we can deal with that later. I think the defense they're going to protect is Carlson, Kempney and Siegenthaler.
Kempney has been kind of having an up down season so far. He's definitely,
but not- do you protect Kempney? Well, Kempney has also been hurt a lot, but do you protect Kempney or Orlov?
I don't protect Orlov. I think we know my stance.
Well, that's because you hate him.
Yeah.
I think they leave Orlov exposed for only because his cap hit.
It's a big cap hit.
It's 5.1. I think they will probably look at it being like, you know, he's going to be almost 30 at that point, which is not the end of the world, but they might be looking at it as, you know, we have some young guys in the minors. Maybe we want to give them an opportunity, free up some of that cap space when we need to re-sign Ovechkin and Vrana and Samsonov.
Now, let's just, I mean, I do want to talk a little bit about Nick Jensen here. You said, you know, he might go at the trade deadline, might be in the offseason.
If they can find someone else. Offseason, I think if they need the cap space, he's likely someone that they'll be like, you know, I think we can afford to move him out and replace him with either a prospect or a young guy in the minors, or we go out and sign someone. If they can find someone at the deadline and get a team to take Jensen off their hands, I wouldn't be surprised. It doesn't necessarily look great because they just brought him in last deadline. But if he's going to keep struggling at a cap of $2.5 million for the next three seasons after this one, and he's 29 years old, I think you look at it going, you know what? I don't know if we can really afford that when we need the cap space and he's struggling. Maybe we move him out.
Well, I mean, with the way he's performing, I'm not sure if anybody would want him. Can he go on waivers? Can they just decide, you know, one day where
I mean, anybody can, but if they send him to the minors, they still get stuck with part of his cap hit, I think.
Is there anybody in the minors you think could take his spot? Is there anybody really down with Hirschy defensively that's really going like, oh, man, this guy, he might be the guy?
I mean, Juice is someone that I'm sure they're looking at.
He was just up here, and he didn't really impress.
I think they don't want to get rid of Jensen at this point. I don't know if they're going to.
Because he's got like a four-year deal, right?
I wouldn't. Who?
Jensen?
I thought you were talking about Juice, and I was like, no. Juice actually needs a new contract after this season. Yeah. Jensen has three years after this season. One guy, I mean, they could be looking at, are they going to give a guy like Alex Alexiev an opportunity to come up? He's 20 years old at the moment. They liked what they saw from Martin Fehervari, which is, I don't actually remember how to say his name, but I like saying it that way because it's very Game of Thrones-like. And, you know, there's a couple guys down there. They might, Tyler Lewington, they might be bringing these guys up and going, look, we're going to give you that opportunity where he wasn't playing well. I think they only move him at the deadline if they can bring someone else in. Otherwise, he's with the team throughout the rest of the season, and maybe they look at moving him in the offseason if they want to free up some cap space. I mean, there's a couple of guys they could move out if they want to free up cap space. You move out a guy, I don't think they want to move Dowd or Hathaway. They have small cap hits. Ponick, maybe, but they just signed him, so that's a little awkward. Though, if he gets through a full season, you know, maybe you can move him out if you can find someone that will take him. He's like, he's 28. He's got a contract for the next 3 years, so if your team has taken him on, you have him locked up for a bit. I don't think Hagelin you necessarily going to want to move out from, but you never know. Outside of that, I don't see them really moving any of their top six forwards, at least at this point.
Hopefully this is just, you know, a bad month or so.
I mean, honestly, I kind of don't see Holpe coming back after this season.
Yeah, I've been saying that, which is a bummer.
I think they could either do a sign and trade or they trade the rights to him, but with the understanding like their team's going to sign him. But there are a couple NHL teams. I have to go back and look. I was thinking about this a week or so ago, maybe less than that. But there are a couple of teams that might be like, you know, I wouldn't mind bringing in Braden Holpe.
Now, Braden Holpe this season has been
in a couple of draft picks if you're the Caps.
Yeah. Yeah.
Replenish the minors, although the minor league teams are doing pretty good right now.
Yeah, they start off really bad, and then they just kind of wake up around December.
They thought the season started in December. It's an honest mistake.
It happens. Happens to the best of us.
Yeah, you know, it's all right.
But Braden Holpe's kind of having a not-so-great season. I mean, still a great Braden Holpe player. I mean, still a huge fan favorite here. But he has been making some mistakes. He's been letting some easy goals in. And you got a guy like Samsonov kind of like chomping at your heels here. You know, he's got his first career shutout. He's got 8 wins. And he's won the most, road games for the Capitals when he's in net. You know, we were kind of talking about trying to figure out what was going on with Columbus a month or so ago, and I brought up the fact, look, stuff's not working. Do you play Samsonov in a back-to-back against Columbus to see if that does anything? And you're like, well, I don't know. I think they stick with Holpe, and they didn't. They did go with Samsonov, and they were able to beat Columbus. Samsonov, you know, our buddy Ryan that we bring up all the time, he's been a huge fan.
Oh, he's in love with him.
Yeah, I mean, he's been
like taking him out to dinners, in love with him.
he's a young kid. He's got a great he looks great in net. Seems like he's very confident out there on the ice. I don't think it's a goalie controversy in DC right now. I think it's a great tandem. But when you have these two goaltenders that are so good, I mean, if you're Braden Holtby, I mean, you at least got to be a little bit nervous just to the sheer fact that, you know, you're negotiating a contract, you're not performing well. They can just go, look, we got another guy behind you who's doing really well. I think we're confident enough to go with him. I mean, I think they're working well together. I think Braden Holtby is professional, but still, is that in the back of his mind, do you think?
To an extent, I don't know how much. I think he knows that if things don't work out in DC, that he's got plenty of opportunities to go other places. You know, there's one team that pops head in terms of needing a new goaltender potentially next season is San Jose. They've been struggling with their goalies this year, but I don't think they're necessarily want. They're already spending 5.75 on Martin Jones. Are they really going to add something around the lines of like 7 to potentially 10 million in Braden Holtby? They've got 11.5 wrapped up in Erik Karlsson. So they got a lot of forwards that aren't making a lot of money. So they got a lot of younger or a lot older forwards that just don't have as high a cap hit at this point. So I, you know, that's one option. I mean, there are other teams. I'm looking down the list of teams right now and I can't think of any necessarily off the top of my head. I just had this information like a couple of days where I was like, where could Holtby end up? I'm sure there are teams that are going to look at him and go, yeah, Stanley Cup winning goaltender who's got a lot of talent and he's only 30 years old. He turns 31 in September. I'll lock him up. You know, it'd be kind of like the Marc-Andre Fleury situation in Vegas where, you know, yes, he's kind of an older guy, but he's still got, I hope he could still have a good 10 years left in him playing in the NHL. But the reality is the Caps just don't necessarily have the cap space. And they have this young 22-year-old who, while he needs a new contract after next season, he's not costing you that much for the next season. And with the way he's playing right now, his stats are looking pretty good. I mean, he's got a GAA of 2.11. His save percentage is 0.925. Both of those are better than Holtby's. He does have a shutout. Holtby doesn't have one this season. So he's definitely looking a bit better. Now, he's also only played 17 games, whereas Holtby has played 32. So, actually, Samsonov has played 17 games, started 15. So he's played 15 starts to 32 starts. Samsonov is 13-2-1. Holtby is 18-9-4. So Holtby's not necessarily like, get him out. He's right. Not playing terribly. He's played just under double the amount of minutes as Samsonov. But Samsonov has looked good. He's looked like he could potentially be the starter for an NHL team. And when you're a team that's going to have an interesting situation with cap space, you know, you might be like, look, Braden, thank you for everything. And I hate to say this, and I'll definitely buy his t-shirt, but we're going to go ahead and move you on and maybe do a situation like they had with Chandler Stephenson, where they find him a good opportunity with a team that is just looking for a goaltender, but has kind of everything else, and give him an opportunity to win somewhere else.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to see Braden Holtby leave. I like this tandem right now.
I think he's definitely going to the West.
Yeah. How do you take a goaltender that is that good and have him in the East? I mean, that's, you know, what's the old saying, cutting your nose off to spite your face? I mean, that's kind of what this is.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this is a good problem to have for the Capitals right now. This is a very good goalie tandem. These two are very talented. I definitely think Samsonov is a number one goaltender. I think it's going to be in Washington, but maybe not.
You know where he could go?
Where's that?
I'm looking around, and it's a possibility. Detroit. They have Jimmy Howard at 35, who's at the end of a contract. Jonathan Bernier, 31. He's got 1 year left on his. That's an interesting option.
And the Capitals do have a relationship with Detroit. They've made many trades. We've seen Madison Bowie go to Detroit. We've seen Mike Green go to Detroit. So the two front
offices. That was a free agency signing. But, yeah, I mean, I definitely think that Detroit wouldn't necessarily be a great situation right now. They're kind of terrible. But I wouldn't be surprised for them to give Holtby an opportunity. Where's he from again? Do they try and trade him to a team? You know, who's closest to where he's from? Lloydminster. I don't know why I said that with like a bad, like New York or Boston accent.
It's definitely not Canadian.
Yeah, I don't know what I was doing. I don't think I could do like that's the only Canadian. Like, doesn't even sound Canadian. It just sounds like I had like something stuck in my throat.
So kind of near Edmonton. Closest. Well, I was like right on the border too. Oh, it's like literally on the border. I didn't know that. That's pretty cool. Anyways. Yeah. Does Edmonton need a goalie? Who's their goalie? Why can't I think of this right now? Oh, they have Mike Smith, the most like generic American name ever. And Mikko Koskinen. Sorry, that probably is not said correctly. That's a possibility. Although they got a lot of money wrapped up in him. $4.5 million for the next 2 years. Maybe not. Anyways, yeah. So that's kind of, you know, Backstrom's deal definitely plays a part in terms of what Holtby might be looking for. I think he also is going to look at other goaltenders in terms of what they've gotten recently. And be like, look, this is what I'm worth. And I think the Caps are going to look at and go, we need the cap space. We have this young guy. If they didn't have Samsonov, I think they definitely try and re-sign Holtby.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. If Samsonov was not in the equation, Holtby definitely would be getting a contract extension. But when you have a young talent like that in your back pocket, I mean, he was their number one draft pick the year he was drafted. It definitely, you know, puts a damper on Holtby's plans. I definitely think he likes D.C. He likes living in D.C. I think he likes the team. But it's going to be very difficult to keep Backstrom for 5 years, keep Ovechkin for 4 years, and keep Holtby. I mean, it doesn't seem like those three will be able to survive on one unless they are the team. They're the only three playing on the ice, then yes, you could afford them, but there's a lot of other players on this team that you're definitely going to need. Now, another guy who kind of made history this week, got to bring him up, Tom Wilson, Willie Baby, number 43. He played his 500th game since we talked last, and he is the youngest, or he becomes the third youngest player and the youngest forward in franchise history to hit the 500 game mark. He's only 25 years and 290 days old is the way that they worded it. And he's the third player from the 2012 NHL draft to reach that mark. So Tom Wilson, he came, he was drafted, he showed up the next season, and he never left. He's been an impact player for this team since he's gotten here.
Impact is a very interesting choice of force with the way he plays sometimes.
Yes, and it just makes you think like how much quicker he would have gotten here without, you know, making dumb moves and suspensions and the other things, because he struggled there for a couple years. We were waiting for him to become top line Tom for the longest time. We weren't sure if he was ever going to get there, but here he is. He's playing his 500th game. He's solidified his spot on this team as one of the top six. Tom Wilson, I mean, he's a huge part of this team right now. We were discussing the end of last year when Brooks Orpik announced his retirement, who would get the A for this team. And I actually said potentially Tom Wilson could get the A. That's how much he means to this team and how much he fires them up. So it's kind of cool to see this kid drafted in 2012 and to make this rise to the top of the team. And pretty cool that he's hit 500 games this past week. So what do you think about Tom Wilson? What does he bring to this team? What do you like about him? And what do you hope to see out of him, you know, in his whole career?
I mean, I like the physicality that he brings. I like the leadership that I think he brings with a lot of the younger players. And, you know, you're going to see more and more young guys as they come through. I think that he has, how do I put this nicely, gotten less dumb in terms of, like, the hits and the stupid plays that he was making in the past. And I think that's just benefited him as a hockey player in general. He's focused more on the offensive side of his game that we were kind of always waiting to see. And I think the team is obviously all the better for it because they needed someone that could play on the top line with Ovechkin and either Backstrom or Kuznetsov. And he was that guy. You want someone that was kind of like that Mike Knubel who could get in front of the net and cause some havoc. And he's done that to an extent. I think overall he's just gelled really well being on the top six, being on the first or second line. He knows she, you know, flip-flopping from time to time. And so, you know, it's nice to see a guy that they drafted kind of actually come through and be the guy that they kind of wanted him to be all along, especially with the way he started being on the third and fourth line and just being kind of a physical guy who was getting himself in trouble all the time. He's kind of gotten out of that quite a bit. He's not really making as many dumb decisions as he used to.
It's very true. So congratulations, Willie, baby. You're growing up right in front of our eyes. There you go. 500 games. Pretty great. So last little bit of Caps I want to talk about. You might have some more Caps news, but let's talk a little bit about the Caps power play. It was really strong early on, but in the month of December, it was ranked 29th, which is not very good at all. The power play seems to have lost all of its power, I guess, and they're kind of fighting to figure out what's going on and how to fix it. So what have you thought about the power play? What do you think they need to do better besides just score more goals? I mean, you've got John Carlson, you've got Ovechkin. Usually you have Backstrom. We've seen kind of Kuznetsov and Varana switch a little bit, Varana getting bumped up to the first power play. But what do you think's going on with the power play right now? Why is it doing so poorly?
I mean, I think some of it kind of coincides with the team itself kind of had a little bit of a dry spell, though this team, I think the stat I saw was since December 1st, they've been 30th. Their power play has been 30th in the NHL, which is embarrassing considering the offensive talent that they have. I think it got a little repetitive. It got a bit stale. I think the players weren't moving their skates as much as they should have been, and I think that's what ended up costing them in the long run. And you want to see better from these guys in terms of their effort, especially on the power play. I think you shake up the personnel has helped a little bit because other teams then have to focus on the particular skill set of that player. I think, you know, Vrana looked good out there on the first unit. And then I think maybe, you know, you start mixing up a little bit. I know you don't want to take Ovechkin necessarily out of his office, but, you know, you mix it up from time to time and have him, you know, standing somewhere else or positioning him somewhere else. And not just on the point, you know, put him down low, put him out on along the boards a little bit and just give teams a different look, free up a couple of other guys with an opportunity to try and make a play. It doesn't always have to be your superstar. That would be my thought in terms of the power play and just mixing it up, because what they're doing, even though they scored on the power play against Carolina the other night, it's not necessarily working.
No, it's not. It's definitely been one of the...
Maybe not necessarily working. It's not working.
It's not working. So it seems like they just got to figure out what's going on and how to fix it. And yeah, it's just not working. It's very poor. And they need to get working on it. So, Coach Dan, anything else we should cover in Caps World?
Well, we got a little bit of news. Did we talk about this? Ovechkin passed Teemu Selanne for 11th place on the all-time goals list. So congratulations to him. Continues to move up those charts. Congrats for TJ Oshie. He is not going to be going on a mini vacation. He's actually going to the All-Star game out in St. Louis. He got voted in as the last man, or is this like the NHL's version of Mr. Irrelevant in like the NFL draft? But he's going to the All-Star game. So the Caps have a number of guys out there. Ovechkin obviously dropping out. You have Oshie. Is it Oshie who was the... I was just thinking, did he replace Ovechkin?
No, I think that was like the last man thing. It was like one somebody.
Yeah, he was. He was voted as the all-star, the last man in vote, presented by Adidas. We have to make sure we include that. Maybe let's start sponsoring the show. That'd be awesome. Anyways, so yeah, Oshie gets to go to the all-star game. He's joining, Backstrom never gets to go. Who's going? Carlson, Holpe. And who we just talked about leaving. And no, not Ovi. Oh my God, Reardon, who's coaching, which again is just like, go play, guys. Score goals. Like, I feel like you're not really doing much as a coach in the All-Star game.
Do you think Oshie heard that he was going to the All-Star game and was like, oh, great. Yeah, that's great. I definitely want to go back to the former place I used to live instead of going on vacation with my family. Thanks.
I think he gets the call and then hangs up and goes, damn it.
Well, we got to cancel the plans to go to Mexico for vacation for the week. Thanks a lot. Actually, they have a bye week, so he just has to delay it a little bit.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure he probably enjoys it, especially being the first time he's... Or is this? I think it's the first time he's been voted into the All-Star game. I don't know if he ever went as a member of the Blues.
Yeah, I mean, so that's it is cool. His former city, so I guess like you did have Caps fans as well as Blues fans voting for him in that last man bracket.
Yep, it was his first career All-Star selection, so that's nice of him.
He's an all-star. I think he should go.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Do you remember that one really down year where the Caps had one person in the all-star game and it was Weidman?
Yeah, unfortunately.
That's the all-star we send.
Didn't Ovechkin was injured or he skipped that one as well or something?
He I don't know if he skipped. I think – oh, no, that was the one where they suspended him like two or three games and they said, but you can still come to the all-star game. You're not suspended for that one. He's like, well, if you're suspending me for two to three games, I'm not playing that one either.
Yeah, he was like, F you guys.
Yeah. All right, so if that's it for what's going on in Caps world, let's go down on the farm. Everybody, here we go. We're going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what's going on down on the farm?
Well, in the past week, Hershey went 2-1 with wins over Wilkes-Barre, Scranton, and Cleveland. The Bears are currently second in the Atlantic Division with 51 points, two back of first place Hartford. They're playing as we speak in Charlotte. Then they play on Wednesday, also against Charlotte, before heading home to the Giant Center against Hartford. They stay at home on Sunday, where they will play Rochester. Now, down in South Carolina, the Stingrays went 2-1 with wins over Atlanta, Florida, and Greenville. They're currently first in the South Division with 58 points, 10 up on second place Florida. They're running away with the thing right now.
All right.
They have four games before we talk again, starting on Wednesday in Jacksonville before a three-game back-to-back-to-back homestand at the North Charleston Coliseum, starting Friday against Jacksonville, Saturday against Atlanta, and Sunday against Orlando. That's what's going on down on the farm.
All right, well, go Bears, go Stingrays. Now let's go around the NHL. Everybody, here we go. We're going around the NHL. Plenty of stuff to talk about. How about some missed shootouts, some all-star things? The NHL is a very fun place to be sometimes. So, Coach Dan, what is going on around the NHL?
Well, let's start in New Jersey, where the Devils fired general manager Ray Shero. It's a bit of an odd timing, if you ask me, after they recently fired their head coach. I wonder, are they going to hire someone now? Or do you think they wait until the offseason, potentially wasting an opportunity to jumpstart their rebuild? I have to imagine with some moves at the deadline. You know, I feel like if they want to make this move, they either should have made it earlier. I believe the owner came out and said that it was more about how do I want to put this? It was they need to be winning now, and that's just not going to happen at the moment. So I found the timing of it a bit odd. I don't know who they're going to bring in. They have a, you know, an interim general manager. So it'll be interesting to see what they do at the deadline. And that's the news going on in New Jersey. Edmonton's Zach Cassian was suspended two games for serving as the aggressor in an altercation with Calgary's Matthew Tkachuk. Cassian is none too pleased with Tkachuk, calling him a certain slang word for a part of the female anatomy.
Ooh.
Yes, he's not too happy. And I actually watched the hit. And he makes a good point. It was kind of a dangerous and not so nice hit by Mr. Tkachuk. So if I read correctly earlier, he also had some other things to say, basically calling out the NHL in terms of, well, if Tkachuk can get away with that, I guess I can too. And if I also read correctly, Cassian's first game back is against Calgary. So that's not going to go well. There might be a fight or seven. The Rangers' Jacob Trouba was fined $5,000 for slashing St. Louis's Vince Dunn, who kind of sounds like he has a country star's name.
A little bit.
Don't you feel like you'd like turn on was a 98.7 and you'd hear new song from Vince Dunn? I read that and I was like, that's not a hockey player. That's the dude who's playing a guitar. Anyways, Brad Marchand. Oh man, this couldn't have happened to a bigger D-bag. He botched his shootout attempt
by skating up to the puck and then barely touching it. Now, because the puck moved forward and he skated past it, that counts as an attempt. And the Bruins lost the game on that play. A lot of jokes are being made about how he just had licked the puck. Oh, Marchand, you're such a putz.
My favorite part of that video is the refs getting together after he skated past the puck, because they literally are just standing there going like, what just happened?
Yeah, huh?
Did he touch it? I think he touched it. What do we do here?
Are we coaching a kid's game? Like, the puck moved, and so did he, but he moved past it. I'll bet you one of the guys was like, what's the rule?
Yeah, but they all got together like, what do we do?
Do we call Toronto? Not really sure what to do right now. This is so weird. Good job, Marchand, you dumb. And finally, there will be a new event at the NHL All-Star Game. It's a 3-on-3 scrimmage between top American and Canadian women's hockey players. This is pretty cool. This is not the first time that the NHL has invited women to participate in their All-Star competition, though this is a new element for this particular one. Look at the news going in the past. In Tampa, the NHL asked Team USA Olympians to demonstrate drills for the skills competitions. And then last year in San Jose, they actually had, and I apologize if I say her name wrong, Kendall Coyne-Field, who became the first woman to compete in the NHL All-Star Skills Competition. She ended up doing the fastest skater event. She got a time of 14.346, which placed seventh. It doesn't say out of how many. But McDavid actually won with 13.378. So she was just over a second. Just over a second behind his... Oh, no, just under a second. I apologize. Just under a second behind the Connor McDavid, who ended up winning it. So that's pretty cool, having them join the All-Star Game and giving more attention to women's sports. Yeah. That's the news for the past week in the NHL.
I know there's a big boycott right now for a lot of the professional women's hockey players.
Yeah, they're getting treated terribly.
Yeah, so I mean, it is nice that the NHL is putting a spotlight on the women's hockey. I don't even know what to, just the women's sport, because it we have those rivalry series, and we have the Olympics, and we have the, I guess, the World's Championship. But really, you don't get to see a lot of the women compete. So it's nice to see this this new element, the 3-on-3, going on at the All-Star Game. I'm excited to see what they do, and I'm glad that the NHL is doing it, even though what's going on off the ice is a little bit bigger to digest, I guess, because the women want to be treated fairly, and they should. They should be making, you know, just as much as the men. But there already is a league out there, but it's not, you know, it's a whole bunch of hoopla. So hopefully this will help the women's league kind of get a little bit more press, open it up to a wider audience, and people can get interested and check it out for themselves and get to see how much talent they have on the ice. So I'm excited to see what they bring to the All-Star weekend. So, Coach, that's it for this show.
That's it for the show. That's probably the only thing we're interested in seeing in the All-Star weekend. That's not true. The skills competition is fun, too.
I don't know if this is true or not, but I heard there's a new skills comp where hockey players are going to be in the stands trying to make shots. Like, they're going to see how far they can go to make a goal. I don't know. It's...
What?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I've seen, like, you know, in-game entertainment where they have somebody at one of the entrances in like the level 200, and they go for the goal that's across the ice from them. And, you know, I think Slapshot made that shot and was able to get a goal. But that I think it was last year or the year before. So I don't know. But maybe that could be something else that they do this year. So they're trying to get people interested in the All-Star game and the All-Star weekend. So give them what they want. So if you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. You can hang out and ask us anything you want over on Twitter. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, talking all kinds of Capitals related things, as well as other sports, talking about Arsenal Football Club, the NFL season is over, so now over for me anyways. So not as much to talk about in terms of the Bills, or now that he's gone, I could talk a little bit more about the Skins, because I couldn't do when Bruce Allen is there. He's a bad person. He might be a nice guy in real life, but as an executive, although, you know, the things he did don't really speak well to him as a human being. Anyways, talking about some other stuff on Twitter as well. Other sports. What else we got going on in the sports world, Brandon? Anything else? Hockey?
Well, you'll probably
get- maybe I shouldn't be asking you right now. Never mind. I apologize.
Yeah, you'll get maybe one more episode of my other podcast, The Call, my Ravens podcast, because Saturday was not a fun night in Baltimore. I can say that much on this show. Man, I don't know what happened. We're going to digest that tomorrow when I talk to my buddy Josh. Well, yeah.
I feel like there's going to be a lot of yelling.
I feel like I'm going to be sitting back and just letting him kind of go off for 45 minutes as he tries to figure it out, because I don't know what happened, man. I was very confident. I feel like this was when the Caps got taken out by – when they got halocked. That's what it felt like all over again.
Don't bring up halock.
That was a rough one.
Anyways, that was somehow finding me on Twitter at WTB Coach Dan. But hey, if you have enjoyed this show, go ahead and check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. It's where we post new shows as well as all sorts of other stuff related to the Washington Capitals. And really, it's just whatever fun things come into Brandon's head he decides to throw out there. That's facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. But Brandon, speaking of your other shows, where do people need to go to find out when to listen to that?
So you can go over to BrandoCash.com, get all the information you're ever going to need about Brando Cash Entertainment and the podcast we produce. Like Coach Dan said, I also do a Baltimore Ravens podcast called The Call. You can check us out there. This might be a fun show for you to listen to this week, because it is going to be a lot of complaining, a lot of soul searching. We're going to try to figure it out. And yeah, I don't know what else is going to happen. So you can check out The Call and What the Puck as well every single week wherever you listen to your podcast. Now, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, and Google Play Music. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok. Anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone, say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So let's go over the games until we talk again. Really, not that many games, because there is a bye week coming up on, Thursday, January 16th. The Capitals are in D.C. up against the Devils. That game is on NBC Sports Washington with a 7 o'clock start. Hopefully the Capitals want to get that win back after Saturday's just complete mess of a game. Devils killing the Caps 5-1. So hopefully there's going to be a little bit more gas in the tank here on Thursday. And then the Capitals travel to the Nassau Coliseum. They go to visit the New York Islanders. 1 o'clock in the afternoon start for that one on Saturday. And that's, again, Nassau Coliseum up against the Islanders. You can watch that on ESPN Plus and then the NBC Sports Washington locally here as well. And then after the game against the New York Islanders, the Capitals have a bye week, get to enjoy themselves, going on vacation, I'm sure. And then we're going to have the All-Star weekend after that. So if you're hungry for some Caps hockey, you get to see Holtby, Carlson, Oshie, and Todd Reirden back on the 24th, cutting their vacation short. But we'll see how these two games go. Make sure you stay tuned to our Facebook page. Maybe we'll be back and do a show, maybe a season so far wrap up next week. Who knows? But stay tuned to our Facebook page. We'll let you know. And I think that's pretty much it for the show this week. So everybody, say it loud, say it proud. Suck it. We did it.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.